Good evening, everyone, and welcome. If you're joining us online, welcome. We're glad you're with us. My name is Carmen. I'm your pastor of Congregational Care, and our senior pastor, Reverend Shane, is taking a much-deserved vacation, I'll say, and he will be back in July. So this evening, I got to tell you that I feel like as I was preparing this, I would have to prepare a little bit and I'd have to walk away because I really felt like Satan was attacking me. And so, and even today I felt an attack from Satan. So this could not come more timely. You know, I think we can all agree that we're living in very challenging times. It's almost impossible to keep up with everything that's going on in the news unless you're sitting in front of the TV or listening to the radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I got to be honest and tell you, I've given it up. I just don't like to sit and watch all of the things that are going on in the world, although my husband will keep me up to date so that I know the things that we need to pray for. Thank you, dear. Some of the top stories, I just took a look yesterday, and some of the top stories from this week, just in this area, there was a woman and a man found shot to death in an SUV. There were two St. Louis men indicted in a hazing incident of a freshman at Mizzou. The hazing left him blind, left him with an inability to speak and an inability to walk as well. And then last Thursday, there was a man that was arrested in Alton for the murder of his girlfriend. His girlfriend was 8 months pregnant, and they found her decapitated in her home. And I'm certain that we all could make a list of the things that we have heard. I'm sure that we can all make a list of some of the things that are going on personally with us as well. Maybe you have a wayward child or your marriage is falling apart. Maybe your job is not what you thought it was going to be. You've got a lot of job stress. Maybe you have a health concern, or maybe there's a new diagnosis that you most recently have been given. Maybe you're struggling with your finances. As a pastor, I know one of the things that weighs me down and that I pray about, and that's all the news we hear about the churches, right? And the churches being in the line of fire, basically, for teaching the gospel. That just really weighs heavy on my heart. All of these issues can be overwhelming and overtake our minds at times if we allow it. The devil tends to trick us into believing that he's winning and that he's calling the shots and that we're his little puppet on a string. He thinks he can manipulate our minds and make us lose our joy and make us lose our spirituality. Let me tell you some good news. If we are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus in your heart, God gets the final say. And what Satan means for your harm, God will use for your good. Has anyone witnessed this before? I know I have. Yeah. Isaiah 54, the 17th verse says, "But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken." No weapon, if you're a child of God, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And God is on your side. Satan may try to tempt you, and he may try to make us believe that there's no end in sight and that there's no help. But God is faithful, and he helps us through our temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. He did not say that we would not have struggles. He did not say there in that scripture that we wouldn't have hard times. But he did tell us when we were tempted and we come up against struggles that he would give us a way out of that. Spiritual warfare began with a chain of events in history. First, I want to let you all know that Satan did not evolve. Satan was created just like you and I were created. Satan is not eternal. Only God is an eternal God. The chain of events goes like this. God created angels. Satan was an angel. Satan rebelled and defied God, and Satan fell from grace. Along with Satan, when he fell from grace, he took with him a third of the angels. Then God created man in his own image, and he made him a little lower than the angels. But Satan continued to rebel, and he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He thought that he could do that. It was his attempt to take over the world. But God made a way out for Adam and Eve, and Jesus was born. Jesus walked the earth as a man and was tempted by Satan, but Jesus overcame the temptation. The final act of defiance and victory from Jesus was his death and resurrection on the cross. So I don't know what you have going on in your life right now and tonight, but whatever life struggles you're dealing with, whatever's going through your mind, whatever thoughts you're having, maybe it's depression, maybe it's anxiety, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night in a panic, but God can take care of that. Our scripture today is going to equip us to come against the temptation and the attacks from Satan. We talked a little bit earlier in this series about putting on the whole armor of God. I think it was the first night of our series, and we just read the scripture. We didn't tear the scripture apart, and tonight I want to take that scripture and tear it apart. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Our struggles are not people, although sometimes we think they are. Our struggles and our problems, according to verse 12, are coming from heavenly places, from a spiritual place. Verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our struggles, our battles, are against principalities, powers of this world in heavenly places. And heavenly places means the spiritual realm. There's a struggle going on in all of us, in every believer, with our spiritual adversary, the devil. He continues to want to get in our mind in any way that he can. He continues to want to ruin our joy. So we need to learn how to deal with the spiritual realm, are those things that we can't touch and feel. We need to learn to deal with them so that they don't control us in the physical realm. Spiritual warfare originated in a rebellion of many angels against God. Satan wanted to be seen as the prince of the world, but Satan was disarmed by Jesus on the cross. And we continue fighting against those same evil forces. And these evil forces that you can't see affect the battles you can see in the physical. If we can't control the spiritual realm, there is no way that we are going to be able to control our in the physical. Let me say that again. If you can't control the spiritual realm, we'll never be able to control the things in our flesh. Our flesh is not where the battles originate. Our battles originate from unseen places. Scripture tells us that angels are in heavenly places, and everyone that's saved has an angel assigned to them. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, Verse 14. Therefore, angels are only servants. They are spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So we know angels are in heavenly places. They are real. We don't talk about them or pray to them. We don't see them, but they are there. They're ministering spirits that do battle and guard us in the spiritual realm and in spiritual attacks. God appoints angels to watch over us and carry us through those difficult times. Psalms 91, 9 through 11 reads, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." I find comfort in knowing that he has an angel assigned to me. So your angel in heavenly places knows how to navigate the spiritual realm better than you and I, and so your angel does that on your behalf. So we know that Jesus is in heavenly places. And now we know that angels are in heavenly places. And now let's go back to verse 12 in our scripture for today. It says that there are evil spirits in heavenly places as well. And our physical world is a representation of what is going on in the spiritual world or in heavenly places. So when there's something we're struggling with in the physical, we must address it in the spiritual or the heavenly realm. The devil is scheming to leave you with unrest and struggling on the spiritual side. But look at verse 11. Verse 11 tells us, it says, "Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil." So if our life is in shambles, it's because we have allowed the devil to take over our spiritual realm and we're not using what God has given us to fight. Because if we use what God has given us, Satan can have no power over us. We're able to defeat Satan and all of his demons, but if you feel like you're living in hell, it's because you're allowing Satan to rule you. You're giving Satan permission and power over your situation, over your circumstances. You're giving Satan power and permission to tell you that you need that alcohol to help you through your day. You're giving him permission to tell you that you need that narcotic for pain. You're giving Satan permission to tell you that you'll never amount to anything. You're giving him permission to tell you that your child is a lost cause. You're giving Satan permission to tell you that you cannot be healed of that disease. You're giving him permission to tell you that you'll never get out of debt. You're giving him permission to get in your head and tell you how depressed you are. And you're giving him permission to tell you that your marriage is over and can't be restored. See, we have to give him permission to get in, right? I'm here to tell you that it is all lies, a bunch of lies from Satan. We need to stop giving the devil permission to rule our minds and our homes and our families. And we need to start telling the devil to go back to hell where he came from. But you have to want to take your life back, or everything that I tell you next is a waste of my time. If you are ready to take your life back and stop giving Satan permission, I want you to shout right now, "I'm ready.
I'm ready." I'm ready.
Amen. So first, let me tell you that we can't do this on our own. We don't have that kind of strength. We do have that strength through Jesus Christ. God has to do that for us, but we have to give him permission. We have to invite him in to do so. But the great news is that he has already provided us with our suit for war. We just have to put it on. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God. And then in verse 13, it says, put on every piece of God's armor. What happens when you put on the full armor? Well, you know what? You'll be able to handle whatever the enemy throws at you. You'll be able to deal with your addictions, with your family, with your marital issues, with your wayward child. I'm not saying there will not be struggles, but they'll no longer define you and they'll no longer control you. I'm saying that the enemy is alive and wants to ruin our lives in any way that he can. So we have to put on the whole armor of God. So what is the full armor of God? There are six items for the full armor of God. Number one, the belt of truth. Verse 14 says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. The belt is what holds the soldier's uniform in place, and it is essential for his armor. The belt of truth is what holds all things together in our lives. The belt of truth and God's word to us is true. We should put on Christ here on earth because he is our truth. We need to buckle up with the belt of truth that only comes from Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Stand your ground. This is in verse 14. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. If we're Christians, Christ is our breastplate of righteousness. And in one of the translations, it says, we are the soldier for Christ that has a heart for doing what is right and what is good. We must take time every day in prayer asking for forgiveness, because we know if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, it's impossible to be right with God, much less be able to fight a spiritual battle. So we have to get, some of the things we've talked about, we have to get up, we have to pray, we have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to get our lives right with God to be able to allow him permission to come in and to help us through this spiritual warfare. Number three, the gospel of peace. Verse 15 says, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Have you, who's a runner in here? Do I have any runners? I wish I was a runner. I just am not. So have you ever tried to run in your sock feet? Yeah, it doesn't work real well, does it? How about boots? Yeah. And girls, how about high heels? Yeah, that doesn't work real well either, right? Well, if you sat with a runner would be able to tell you the exact type of tennis shoe that you need for the exact surface that you'll be running on. And so they'll be able to help you get the right equipment you need to be a successful runner. It's the same thing here. Our feet are our foundation. And our foundation is in Christ. And it's in him in which we find our peace for the battle. So y'all put on your shoes, okay? Number four, the shield of faith. Verse 16 says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. The shield is what covers the entire armor. A Roman shield back then was the size of a full door, and it protected their armor. Christ is the door to salvation, and he's the door that protects us from the enemy. Christ is our shield and will repel the enemy. This shield is our salvation and security that we only receive through Jesus Christ. We must put on the shield if we want protection, power, and authority over the enemy. Number five, the helmet of salvation. Put on salvation as your helmet. A helmet protects your head, it protects your brain, and it protects your minds, right? Paul talks about this in Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, it can be easy to get frustrated with all that's going on around us, but the helmet of salvation can remind us who we are and whose we are. It reminds us that we are conquerors through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number 6, the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet. And the last part of that verse says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is actually our offensive weapon. We need to take the word with us. That's the reason it's so important to know the word and to hide it in our hearts so that we might not sin against it. We need to know the word so that we can follow the word. You know, this is something that God really is working on me about. Many times I can say the scriptures, but if I'm sitting down with somebody, I can't necessarily open my Bible to that scripture. So I'm really working on that because I want to be able to use my sword effectively. So we need to study and know the Bible. It's our offensive weapon. Now as we go into verse 18, Paul tells us that we are to pray at all times. We're to stay alert and to be persistent in our prayers. In seminary preaching class, they teach you to read and to reread your scripture that you choose for your sermon. So when you start out preparing a sermon, you will, if it's in the book of Matthew, you may read the whole book of Matthew, and then you'll narrow it down to a chapter, and then from the chapter, you'll narrow it down to a specific verse. But in that chapter, they tell you to look for words that look like they are a theme throughout that chapter. So here in our scripture today that we've talked about, we see a theme of put. Verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor. Verse 14, putting on the belt of truth. Verse 15 says, put on peace. Verse 17, put on salvation. Then it switches from things we should put on to different action words. Watch what it says here. In verse 17, take your sword. Pray, stay alert, and be persistent. So you see that it switches from things we should put on to cover and protect our bodies, and then the items that we should be using in the battle to protect our minds, to protect us against the spiritual realm. So God has already provided us with all the tools that we'll ever need to fight our battles in heavenly places. He blessed us and he's given us the tools to fight every battle that we'll have. You already have them. We just need to put them on and we need to use them. And we need to have faith and be diligent to use what he's given us. When we don't do this, we begin asking God for tools that he's already given us. And it shows him that we don't have faith in him, right? We're asking him to fix problems that he's already given us the ability to fix. Remember that Jesus has already won the battle. Sin has been conquered. Jesus overcame death in the grave. The battle is real. Daily, it is real. But the great news is that we're not in it alone. And just like Paul's message to the Ephesians, we don't have to fight without our armor. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The devil tries his hardest to disrupt our discipleship with Christ. He looks for a small break in our armor. He seeks out weak spots that we have. He looks for where we are the most vulnerable, and that's where he begins his assault on us. Gary and I were living in Shelbyville, and when you pulled into our home, in the front yard was a pretty deep pond there. I think it was about 16 feet deep. And just behind the house, we had an ingrown pool. And then we were 200 feet off the lake, and so there was water all around us. You know what that means, right? Snakes. Yep, you got it. It is the one thing in the world that I despise the most, snakes. So we would get in the pool, and sometimes there'd be a snake wrapped around the ladder when you went to get out of the ladder. We had a tomcat at the time, and the tomcat would frequently bring us a present and drop it on the porch. Yes, a snake. And then, of course, we would see them at the lake and see them at the pond. And I didn't like any of that, but it didn't make me not want to be there. So Gary was at work one day, and I was in the basement doing laundry. And I went to reach for the soap. And when I did, there he was, a 5-foot black snake staring back at me. And I lost it. I began to scream. I almost couldn't walk. I was screaming so hard. I did make it. I slammed the door, made it up the stairs. The tomcat's whining because he wants to get in the room to the snake. I made it upstairs. I called Gary, and I couldn't even speak. I'm crying, and he says, "Honey, did somebody die? You are going to have to calm down so I understand what you're talking about." And I think I eventually got out of my mouth that it was a snake. So my baby brother lived not too far from there, he and his wife, and so I called them to come over. Now, he's as deathly scared of snakes as I am, so he's not much help. But my sister-in-law came, and she was able to get the snake out and saved me from that, thank goodness. But what we did find out was it was a brick home, and so where the, and I'm going to say parts of air conditioners, I don't even know what they are, but anyway, just work with me. So in a brick home where the air conditioner goes in, those pipes or whatever they're called that go into the house, you generally will spray foam around that. Well, the foam had become old and it had cracked, and so there were some pieces of it missing, and that's how the snake got in our basement. The moral of the story is, that's what Satan does to us. He finds any crack that he can get in and destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. He will find any crack that he can get in to destroy your family. He will find any crack that he can get in to destroy your joy that God is giving you. So we need to put on our suit for war, right? We need to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to put on our shoes of peace. We need to put on our shield of faith. We need to put on our helmet of salvation. And we need to take the sword of the Spirit with us wherever we go. When we're in our armor, we need to pray, stay alert, and be persistent. John 12:31 says, "The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out." And guess what? I read the back of the book, and God wins. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. As Christians, it's time for us to put our suit of war on. It's time for us to come together as a church, as a family in Christ, and persistently pray. It's time for us to pray for healing in our families. It's time for us to pray for our finances. It's time for us to pray for disease. It's time for us to pray for our wayward children to come back home. It's time for us to say, "Enough, devil. Go back to hell where you came from." It's time for us as believers in Christ to live in joy and live like we are children of a king. I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. We need to denounce Satan. We need to use the power that Jesus has given us. And that one of the very important things, too, is the power in just the name of Jesus. Just to say his name, there is power in that name. I believe that tonight is a great night for us to start as a church praying and coming against Satan for our families, for our church, for our friends, for anyone that we come in contact with. You know, I was ministering to someone this week that is going on hospice, or is on hospice, who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Broke my heart. And I went in and just had good conversation. And I waited for the right time. I waited for God to tell me when I should bring up him. And I brought him up. And the person said, I don't want to talk about him. And it broke my heart. But God said, Carmen, just ask if you can pray. So I prayed, and my prayer consisted of how anyone can become a child of God. And it's my prayer tonight that that young lady has accepted Jesus into her heart. She had an addiction background. Satan had overtaken her. Christ Church, it's time for us to rebuke Satan, to get on our knees, and to pray. Dave Merrill, Susan, Shelley, will you guys come forward? If you have a heart for prayer, Carrie Urban, if you have a heart for prayer, if you are in need of prayer, will you meet us here at the altar and begin praying against Satan? If you have a need you would like for us to pray with, we'd like to pray with you. If you just want to come up here and just pray at the altar by yourself, that's fine too. But if you have something that is really bothering you, if you have something going on in your life, if you have something that Satan has made his way in to your life about, bring it to the altar. Where two or more are gathered, let us pray with you. Let us love you like our family.